is Russo v. Patchogue Medford School District. And we have Ms. Russo. Are you able to hear me okay, Ms. Russo?
Yes.
And Ms. Novitz, are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, Ms. Russo, I see you reserved 1 minute for rebuttal, and you can begin whenever you're ready.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Dana Russo, and although I have many titles, pro se appellant, school psychologist, is what you might have read about me, I want you to know the most important thing is that I'm a child of God, and I share this to emphasize how that God is all that I do. This case is about the rights of every American, especially educators, to practice sincerely held religious beliefs. The core issues are that the district acknowledged my sincerely held religious belief and recognized my religious objections to medical interventions, but failed to accommodate them, violating Title VII and the New York State law. They adhered to a mandate that did not prohibit religious exemptions, and then they claimed undue hardship without evidence. In Gruff versus DeJoy, it establishes that the burden of proof of undue hardship lies with the employer, requiring concrete, demonstrable evidence, and that would like substantiate the hardship itself, moving beyond the de minimis cost, as it was previously stated. The district failed to provide this evidence or engage in an interactive process for the accommodation as required by Title VII and also in cooperation as per the EEOC versus Abercrombie and Fitch and Insomnia Board of Education versus Philbrook. The timeline proves that at the onset, my accommodation request was rejected with the statement there is no religious exemption. And despite the meetings, no alternatives were offered, even though my beliefs were acknowledged.
Ms. Russo, their main argument in response to that is that if they were to give you an exemption, they'd be in violation of state law, that state law required either a vaccine or testing, and as an employer, they can't just ignore that, that if you think that's unconstitutional because it doesn't provide for religious exemption, then you have to sue the state. And a lot of people did, as you know, during COVID, sued the state for exactly those types of issues. So what's your response to that? How are they supposed to accommodate you by violating state law?
Well, during the pandemic, I was instructed to work from home, and I did so. Yet then they claimed I couldn't perform my job effectively, contradicting the precedent that was set by Branty versus New York, where remote work was recognized as a valid accommodation. So there was no interactive process, there was no discussion. I was placed on unpaid leave on October 4th and then 2021, and then was allowed to work until October 8th, 2021, undermining the claim that I could pose a health risk. The inconsistency further highlights that they lacked substantial evidence for their claim of undue hardship, and it calls into question really their decision making on handling the accommodation request itself. They then really can't claim compliance with the health mandate without addressing the religious accommodation requirements under Title VII. I also felt that if you look at Hale versus Vital, the court looked at whether the employer's accommodation was reasonable for religious practices. And while the specifics of the case actually differ, the principle is clear. Employers must work with employees to respect their religious beliefs. In my case, the district offered only a saliva test, a medical procedure conflicting with my faith and what I sought the exemption for. And
what is your argument that you would not pose a health risk? You're saying that you're disputing the question that an unvaccinated person would pose a health risk?
Well, I don't know how that could be possible when I worked the entire pandemic and I wasn't a threat. So it would make sense.
You worked, you worked remotely or you worked in person for the entire pandemic?
I worked, so I, we worked remotely, solely remotely, and I fulfilled all my duties. That's what happened in the very beginning of the pandemic. And then was back at work for almost a year before the mandate, a health mandate, was put in place.
All right. We understand the argument. You reserved your, you have 1 minute for rebuttal, and we'll hear from Ms. Novitz. Thank you, Ms. Rousseau.
Thank you, Your Honor. Rondi Novitz, Bridger Mitchell Novitz, on behalf of the appellee. I believe there's no factual dispute here. Everything Ms. Rousseau indicated is correct. Our only disagreement is whether or not it was an undue hardship for the school to violate the New York State mandate, which clearly it was. In addition to violating the New York State mandate, it also did pose a risk to both staff and students. With regard to Ms. Rousseau's argument in that she worked remotely for some time, that's entirely true, and that was when the students were also remote. Once the students returned to the classroom, there was no longer an opportunity for her to fulfill all the essential functions of her job remotely, and the school district would have then had to hire another employee to fulfill her duties that were necessary to be in person. So that would have caused an undue hardship for the school. In fact, the school did have to hire somebody to replace her and pay them. In addition, they kept her job open. They did not replace her permanently, and they only put her on leave for the period of time when the mandate was in place. So unless you have any other questions.
No, I don't believe there are any questions. So, Ms. Rousseau, you have 1 minute in rebuttal.
So just in regards to the there was no interactive process, and had that been done effectively, then they would have been able to, we could have, you know, collaborated and came up with a, other accommodation that could have been necessary. There was somebody that worked in the family center that wanted to work in the building. All my functions could have been done via remote if it had to be. There were many other things that could have been discussed. They just were shut down and were not given the opportunity to do that. They basically just said no. They also violated my state claims. They put me on unpaid leave. I was out of work for a solid basic part of the year, a good part of the year. And the claim under 3020A, which is the New York State education law, incorrectly dismissed and overlooked, was overlooked that safeguards employees that are tenured, and so that they're not placed on an unpaid leave, without due process, and that did not happen in this case. So, while they say they preserved my job, I still was at home and not being able to work outside the school. The union told me if you go get a job, they can dismiss you because you're on an unpaid leave, so I couldn't work at all. I just urge the court to reconsider the lower court's decision and establish a clear precedent for non-discriminatory religious accommodation. Please take into consideration the need for a thorough review of the claims and go back to the timeline, because they did not prove undue process and undue hardship, and they did not go through the interactive process as it's meant to be to protect employees. There was nothing done that, would have really helped to me to be the best, do the best job I could do without risking safety and others. I did it already.
Yeah, I just want to correct one thing you said, Ms. Rousseau. I want to make sure you didn't misunderstand the district court's ruling. The district court didn't dismiss any state claims. It declined supplemental jurisdiction over them. So to the extent you had some argument that giving you unpaid leave violated some education law, that was not decided by the district court. I just wanted to make sure you were aware of that. Right?
They just didn't hear it. They just, dismissed it, saying, go back to the state. But we're here. I mean, here we are all, right?
Yeah.
Wasting a lot of time and energy and money, why wouldn't you make a decision?
Because there's a lot
that?
Of cases that say if the federal claims don't survive, that federal court shouldn't reach state claims. So the district court was following those decisions. But in any event, we appreciate your argument today. Thank you both, and we'll reserve decision. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. God bless.